mind. Welcome to the Book Chooks, where we talk about books with your host, Librarian Selena.
I love reading books, it's fun. I often read them with my mom. I like reading to explore. There's no better way, I'm sure. I love reading.
Right here on Planet 104.6 FM. Stay tuned for the next half hour as we find more great books to read. Good evening, readers and listeners. Tonight we have Sarah O'Neill, also known as Sarah the Gardener, with us to talk about her gardening books. Now, Sarah has written 3 books, all on gardening. She's an international author, and she has visitors to her blog, which is called
GardeningKiwi.wordpress.com.
Yes, GardeningKiwi.wordpress.com. Yeah, visitors come from over 100 countries to read that blog, and she also has a YouTube channel, and she also posts videos about her garden regularly, and she also writes newspaper columns and is a speaker. So Sarah, you live on a three-acre property with more than 30 raised beds, and she grows all her vegetables on it. So growing food is your passion, and Sarah, you're on a mission to encourage others to grow their own food too. So welcome to Book Chooks.
Thank you, Selena. Thank you for having me.
I'm just so excited because I love gardening, and someone who's written 3 gardening books, I'm going to be like asking you all these questions and reading and sharing, and just it's wonderful to have you. So, now, the 3 gardening books you've written, we're going to be talking about 2 of them tonight. So the very first one you wrote is called The Good Life.
Yes.
4 Glorious Seasons in My Country Garden. And just tell us a little bit about this, how you came to write this book. And I'll just read the little blurb on it so people who haven't come across it before know. So it says, what happens when you move from an urban metropolis to the rural back blocks? Sarah the gardener, with the help of hubby the ungardener and their 2 young boys, plants a large garden and begins a journey to discover the good life. The Good Life is an inspiring slice of life look at the ups and downs of gardening throughout a year in the countryside. The transition from city slicker to country bumpkin involves a lot of work and learning things the hard way, but also a whole lot of fun and laughter. The best part for the family is having a flourishing garden supplying all their vegetable wants and needs. Life couldn't be more idyllic. So there you go, readers. This is a book about a gardening in the countryside. And so, Sarah, tell me, so you're originally from the city?
Yeah, we used to live in Mount Wellington about a decade ago now. Time's just gone so fast.
And where do you live now?
We live just at the very, very top boundary of the Waikato. So we have to go into Auckland to buy milk.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
So we're actually Waikato. But for all intents and purposes, we're in between Waiuku and Pukekohe.
Right. So, it takes like 2 hours to get there from my place by train.
By train, yeah.
Well, in rush hour traffic, it's probably the same.
Yeah, it's not too bad in the traffic. It's about an hour. So when we decided to move to the country, we drew a circle around how far we were prepared to move from the city. But having said that, we needn't have really bothered because we very rarely come into the city. Mm. Not as much as we thought we would anyway.
Yeah, because you grow all your veggies, so, you know, it's a little like a self-sufficient kind of.
Yeah, it's kind of it, but you know, it's nice to have that rural environment to live in. So
wow. So Aucklanders, have a think about moving to the countryside.
Yeah, we wouldn't go back. Our move was prompted because the boys were little. They were just little toddlers and babies. And also I got diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and we decided to just have a complete lifestyle change.
Okay.
And so moved to the country and haven't looked back.
Oh, great. Good one. I'm just thinking, so you used to be in Mount Wellington, and how big was that section you had there?
The garden area was 24 square metres.
Oh, that's tiny.
But, yeah, there was very little. I mean, I didn't even grow anything there because there wasn't the space, and I didn't at that point didn't have the urge. I was working a busy job and didn't
you weren't
have the
a gardener.
No, I wasn't.
So you learned how to garden when you came to this new section, this countryside. You decided to start gardening and wanting to grow food.
Yeah, well, it was part of the whole move to the country, you know, a whole new holistic lifestyle, you know, fresh air and fresh food.
Yeah.
And it just sort of started from there.
Okay. So I'm reading your book. So it's sort of like originally it was a blog, I've heard.
Oh, yes. So we'd been in the country a few years and growing my vegetables. I'm like, okay, I know what I'm doing now. And then Yates actually had a garden blogging competition, the Spring Veggie Growing Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And so what it required, so this was back in 2010, what it required was people to write about their gardens and post pictures on the Yates website. The competition ran for 100 days over spring.
Right.
The minimum number of entries is 3, but of course everybody was passionate and enthusiastic about their garden, so it blog every day, so mm-hmm. for 100 days,
yes,
you find yourself part of a community of other gardeners and bloggers, and the competition's still running, and people still enter from all those years ago. Yeah, people keep coming back. So I didn't win the first one.
Oh, okay.
And I was a bit upset.
Oh. But so you entered another.
So I entered the second one.
Yes.
And I won the second one.
What did you win?
Oh, back then the prize was $1,000 cash.
Oh.
So that was really, yeah, it was worth fighting for.
Yeah.
And it was worth 100 blogs every day, once a day. But back then it was also by popular vote.
Right.
And so the ones who did win it obviously had more friends than me.
Oh, so you got
people
to
vote for you.
Follow your blog.
Yeah,
and the more people, obviously,
yeah,
more people reading it, the more popular it was.
Yes. So it's done differently now because I went from being the entrant in the competition.
Yes.
So now I actually moderate it. I'm the Yates brand ambassador.
Oh,
so wow. I run the competition. I wake up every morning.
Oh, you run the competition.
Yeah, I wake up every morning and I read every single blog that everyone's ever. And it's just amazing. I mean, when the competition finishes, it's like there's something missing in my world because I'm not connecting with these people in their beautiful gardens.
How many people enter the competition?
Well, it starts with a whiz and a bang and lots of people enter, but it is a bit of a commitment to do.
So you have to blog every day.
Well, you don't have to, but people do.
Make at least, you have to do 100 blogs.
No. The minimum entry is 3.
Oh, right. Minimum entry 3.
So, I mean, if you did it once a week, you know, you're only talking 12 blogs. But a lot of people,
blog posts, you mean?
Yeah, blog posts, yeah.
Okay.
And so it's just you get keen. You go in your garden, right. You're like, I have to tell everybody.
Yes.
So it's exciting, and it's a really wonderful community. And there's many challenges that run through the middle of it to keep people excited.
Oh, I haven't. So, I've heard of some competitions that Yates runs. Like Yates is a seed company, for those who don't know. If you go into the garden centre, you see all the Yates seeds. And also they have other products, but mostly seeds. And, they do have other competitions, but I hadn't heard that they had a blog one.
Yeah, oh, it's fabulous. I love it. So that's what got me started with the writing.
Yes.
And then, so I'd entered the first one and didn't win. Entered the second one and I entered the third one. And I just did it non-competitively because I wanted to be a part of that community.
Yeah.
Because it is a lovely community of gardens throughout the whole country.
Yeah.
And then my husband, behind my back, because when you enter the competition, you give the intellectual property to Yates because it's part of the whole thing.
Okay. Yeah.
And so he was like kind of angling to get the intellectual property back because he thought my writing was really good. But I hadn't written since high school, so I didn't have a clue.
Right.
And when you're blogging, you're doing it alone in your bedroom or whatever, in your office. And you don't really get much feedback back. It's a very solitary thing to do.
Yes.
And so he thought it was really good, so he contacted them. And they said, we really like Sarah's writing, so if our publishers agree, we'll sponsor it. And so he got given an email address. He had no idea who it was. So he sent off the email. Within 2 hours, the head of publishing for New Zealand at HarperCollins emailed him back, or phoned him back. And then 2 weeks later, she was in our garden in borrowed gumboots.
Yeah.
And then when she left, she's like, well, how do I get back to the city? But before she said that was... the contract's in the mail.
Oh, so now you
and so that was the first book thing. It happened really quickly.
Wonderful book that anyone can go and buy at the bookshop. And, yeah, and it's got... so The Good Life, so you had it for a year.
It's basically the blogs were pretty much...
Condensed
into a book. So I had to take 130,000 words and chop them down to 88,000. No, 80... Yeah. So it was a bit of hard work. And they wanted new content as well because they wanted to have things in there that you couldn't just get on the internet.
So. Right. And then all these pictures you had already taken.
Yeah.
So, it's wonderfully illustrated. You know, you get some books that don't have any colour pictures or photos and you're sort of having to imagine what they're saying. But yeah. No, you have all the photos.
That was the hardest bit, chopping down the photos as well, because I obviously couldn't have as many as I had on the blog posts.
Yes.
And you can't search for them in the same way you can words in your files. You know, I know I took a photo of a pumpkin, so you can't search photo of pumpkin. So
yes, and as you read along, you start to learn with Sarah that some of your mistakes.
And
some of your triumphs, and then it's got recipes, and you see things growing bigger.
That one's it's almost more because it's memoir style from the days when I was learning. It's more about what not to do.
Yeah.
Don't do what I did. Don't do that. That was bad. But there are a lot of it's amusing. There's funny things because I mean, you know, you're trying to win a competition, so you put entertaining things in there to catch the eye. So
So. And so you weren't a writer before. You said that this was your first book, your first attempt, and you weren't even probably looking to write a book.
No. Oh, gosh, no. Yeah, and I just found I just loved it just as much as gardening. So I found two loves in the same, you know, and they work so well together.
Wow. Okay, well, let's take a break there, and we're going to listen to Mama's and the Papa's Safe in My Garden, and we'll be right back.
Save it.
Sarah, the gardener. I've heard that there's some good recipes in this one, The Good Life. So tell me about how your recipes got famous.
Yeah, it was quite interesting. There was a TV show on Choice TV not so long ago, Cook the Books, and they had all these famous New Zealand chefs with recipe books. And for each episode, they had like one of the big ones, like Simon Galt or Chelsea Winter or someone like that. Mm-hmm. And then they had a minor one, like someone who had written a book, but not as media famous as everyone else. Like they'd have a cafe or me. And so they asked if I wanted to be part of the show. And my episode was the same one as Chelsea, so I was quite pleased with that. Although I didn't see her, they just came and filmed at my place.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really cool. So we harvested things from the garden, and then I made cheese.
Wow.
It was pretty cool.
That's pretty awesome.
It's quite funny though, because I have a brother and a sister who are both professional chefs.
Yes.
And so I got my brother to check the recipes in the book before they went to publishing, because the publishers said, Sarah, we need quantities because people are actually going to want to make these recipes, because I just put a slap of this and a dash of that.
Yes.
And so I gave all my recipes to my brother and said, can you just please make these okay for, you know, being in a book? And he's like, Sarah, that's not how you make soup.
What?
So it was completely untechnical. And then here I am on a TV show.
Oh.
But it was hilarious.
The top chefs.
Yeah. That was really good. It was exciting.
Oh, well, let's go on to your second book that has been published. It's called Play in the Garden, Fun Projects for Kids to Enjoy Outdoors. So, let's read the blurb here. It says, do you want to have fun playing outside in the garden? This book is jam-packed with cool projects requiring only the occasional bit of help from grown-ups. Discover how to write your name on a pumpkin and watch it grow. Make onion dye for a pirate treasure map. Produce a family of corn dolls. Race Jack up the beanstalk, and much more. After all that, you might look at the garden in a different way. Now, I read this book and it was such fun reading it, because it had all these projects you could do, not just for kids, well, adults can do them too. And I really liked the corn doll, or the corn husk people, and it had pictures on how to make them from your corn husks, and on things like worm farm, which I want to create, which I didn't really know how to go about, but no, you've got instructions here. So it's got all these little projects you can do with your children, and so you've got your boys there helping you.
Yeah, I'm surprised how much they've grown since then. Gosh.
So in this book, they look how old?
I think they're about 7 and 9 or something. So
they helped you with this book. Yeah, so you've got a letter to the kids in the beginning and a letter to the grown-ups.
Yeah. I've sort of taken two voices with it, so that when a kid reads it, they don't feel it's over their head. But in the second voice, with the adults reading it, you don't want to be patronising them.
Yeah.
So when I've sort of taken two voices so that people feel like they're being spoken at a level where they're comfortable.
Yeah. So for parents, this is a really good book if you're into gardening and want your children to enjoy the outdoors. I really recommend it. I've kind of been looking for a book like this in the libraries, or just for myself, or for, you know, just to share. And yeah, it's a really good book. And the thing with gardening books is you want to get the ones that are relevant to New Zealand.
Yeah.
Because there's some out there that, there's British gardening books, Australian ones, American ones, and they don't have the same climate as New Zealand does. So things will be a bit different, and it could confuse you if you're not careful.
Yeah, if you're learning,
yeah,
it's really important, because especially if you go onto the internet, there's so much advice out there for gardeners, but just discerning what is actually applicable to you, it's really hard. So if you're starting out,
yes,
a garden written specifically for your climate is perfect.
Yeah. And to have simple instructions, because you don't want to be overwhelmed with everything that is in these gardening books that I've been looking at. I mean, you could just you know, hedges, flower gardens, fountains, you know, go overboard and like.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is I'm horrible at flowers. Yeah. And, you know, with the vegetable garden at my place is like, it's well sorted. But everything else is just a big mess because just focused on the bit that interests me.
Yeah.
And then taking it, you know, gone with that.
I think with vegetables, I know it's a lot of hard work because you have to keep an eye on them. But the reward at the end is just, yeah, you get to eat.
Yeah, and the food is just amazing.
Yeah.
So I've actually put some flowers in the veggie garden as like a cut flower garden so I can have flowers.
Yeah.
And they actually take just as much work as the vegetables, but you can't eat them.
But I would say in my experience, because I started gardening about 3 years ago now, that flowers are really good with veggies because they bring the bees.
Yes, of course. That's another reason to have them. I mean, I do have flowers in my veg patch, but the ornamental garden, not so much.
And so you've got 30 or 35 recipes?
It's about 36, yeah.
Oh, so is your soil a bit clayey or...?
Well, where we are, there used to be a swamp. And they drained it in 1886. So it always confounds me that the fact that we had a beautiful country to explore back then and they decided to drain a swamp by hand.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a drained swamp. There's ditches and drainage all around. So even in flooding, the water's got somewhere to go.
Yeah.
But having said that, the soil is just amazing because it was swamp soil.
Right.
And so it grows incredible food, but it also holds the moisture really well because it was swamp soil.
That's right. So it's not like you're going to have troubles with drought or anything.
No, or even in a drought, I'm just watering once a week because that's all I need to do. In the winter, it gets a little bit sticky underfoot, but, you know.
You just want your gumboots.
Price to pay, yeah. And that's why my beds are raised because then I can grow all year round.
Yeah. Well, that's become like the thing with people who have that kind of soil or even clay soil to raise them because they don't want to dig too much.
Yeah, a lot of people have raised beds where they don't need them though.
Yeah.
Because if your soil's perfectly fine, people have been growing food in the ground for centuries.
Yeah, you don't need your soil's quite good.
Yeah, so you don't need to be bringing in soil or anything like that if your soil is actually okay. There are heaps of situations where you should really go and, you know, like if you're getting a bit, you know, your back's a bit,
For elderly.
If sometimes in new developments, the contractors take the topsoil away.
That's the thing.
And they leave you with nothing. So, I mean, then get a raised bed then.
That's what happened with where I live.
Or if it's soil or sandy. Sandy soil or clay soil. Yeah. But in most situations, you don't need to go to the expense.
Yeah. Well, if you live in a wonderful Waikato area with all the water around and the good soil, you're quite blessed, really.
Oh, yeah, completely.
and it has become a bit of a fashion to have raised beds.
Mm. Well, that's the thing.
But they are quite expensive if you're building them out of the macrocarpa or...
Exactly.
You know, it's... Yeah.
So if you don't have to, then save that money for good quality tools.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, he's the expert saying so. Yeah. Yep. Cool. Now, the idea for the Play in the Garden book, was that come about because it was your idea or...?
Oh, no, I actually got approached by New Holland Publishers and they said, Sarah, can you write a kids' gardening book? And I nearly said no because my boys weren't into gardening at all.
Really?
Oh. No, they weren't. They were drawn into the lure of the screen.
Oh.
So they were just inside on technology all the time. And I thought, oh, no, hang on a minute. My kids and every other kid in the nation's probably exactly the same, that the screens are such a draw. And kids are losing that link between where their food comes from and they think it comes wrapped in plastic from supermarket.
Yeah.
So I dragged my boys kicking and screaming out into the garden one summer.
They didn't
Oh, no, they did enjoy it because, I mean, Joey's, you know, they grew to like it. They had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then Joey's got his own garden now. He's like, Mum, can I have a garden? So we set one up for him. And it's his pet garden.
That's wonderful.
So, yeah.
Have you heard of Garden to Table?
Yeah, that's a great program that they've got in schools. It's fabulous, just to keep kids connected.
Yeah.
There's quite a few different programs out there to get kids gardening in schools, which is brilliant because that knowledge is being lost.
Yeah.
On how to put a seed in the ground and get food.
Yeah.
And that's something I think that people need to know. I honestly think there's three things people need to know in life. How to sew on a button, how to boil an egg.
Yes.
And how to put a seed in the ground and get food. And that one's even more important because it could be the difference between being hungry and healthy in a situation where your fortunes all of a sudden change.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you can't eat money, can you?
No, you can't. No, there may be times where it's just not there anymore. You know, you get made redundant or the economy changes or
yes,
all sorts of things. And if you can grow food, you can feed your family.
This is kind of how in permaculture was something that I'm studying at the moment, this idea of resilience, that if we can grow our own food where we are, then if something happens to the supply of, you know, imported food, then we're okay.
Well, that's like in the UK this season. The lettuce harvest in Spain was completely, they had too much rain and they had all sorts of things. And so in the supermarkets in the UK, they were limiting iceberg lettuce to a maximum of 4 per person.
Oh, right.
You know, they were rationing the lettuce because it was unavailable. So, you know, whereas if you grow your own, you can have as many as you want.
Well, you can grow them indoors inside.
Exactly.
So
if you need to. So
it's not hard, is it?
No. So, yeah, so people become almost
dependent,
too reliant,
yeah,
on the food chain system when it can be metres away from your door.
Yes, and you don't need to spray like they do because...
Yeah, well, you make an informed choice.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of great products out there that have been made for the job and aren't harmful at all.
Mm.
So, it's
but
having
you,
that choice.
You know what's in, what's been going on to your food if you
exactly.
do choose to spray, whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, often you don't know. The Play in the Garden, yeah, I really like it. I like all your books, actually.
Thank you.
So, children, if you want to have fun in the garden, go find Sarah's book. Oh, also, it's, well, Timothy and Joseph.
Yeah, they help you with it, yes.
Your book with you. So, we can find this book in the library. I found it in the library.
Mm. And it's in all good bookstores and it's online.
Yeah.
It's quite funny, my earlier book, they're almost sold out of them. The publishers tell me it's almost sold out. And I saw it on Amazon the other day for $115 US.
What?
I know. Oh. I'm wondering if it's a typo or not. It's probably a typo.
Oh, Sarah, thank you for coming. And that's all we have time for tonight, but you're going to be back next time, aren't you?
Oh, definitely. I'll come back.
Okay. All right. Happy reading, everyone.
Oompa, oompa, doompa-dee-doo. I've got another puzzle for you. Oompa, oompa, doompa-da-dee. If you are wise, you'll listen to me.
What do you get from a glut of TV?
A pain in the neck and an IQ of 3.
Why don't you try simply reading a book?
Or could you just not bear to look?
You'll get no,
you'll get no.
If you're not greedy, you will go far. You will live in happiness too. Like the Oompa, Oompa, Loompa, Loompa-dee-doo.